Town of Discovery Bay regular board meeting is now called to order. Would everyone please stand and follow Director Graves and pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect all members are present with the exception of Director Leet.
Thank you. Due to the fact that Terracon is unable to provide a presentation this evening as planned, we will be pulling item D1 from tonight's agenda. This means that the board will not be discussing the community center pool as part of tonight's meeting, and staff will continue to carry out Terracon's scope of services approved by the board at the town's May 9th, 2019 regular meeting. With that being said, if any member of the public in attendance tonight would like to make a comment related to the community center pool, you are welcome to do so at the time of the general public comment. And with that, I will open up the general public comment. And I have one card, it's on D1, so I'll give you a holler, Bill, come on in.
For the record, Bill Helfrich, 661 Beaver Court. As of Tuesday, when I was writing up this, there had been no Terracon updated report. So now I understand there just isn't at this point. So what I was planning on doing with my comments were going to be that the consultant's total aquatic cost estimate in the February 6th report was $1,122,000. The September 4th report reduced that cost to $979,000. Which is about $143,000 decrease. But that was only the aquatic pool part of the project. Prior reports from Terracon had included immediate repair costs of $17,800, ADA upgrade costs of $29,300, and other cost estimates of about $11,000. The project cost was sitting at around $1,181,000. The project cost from Terracon did not include project and construction management fees, the increase in the estimated cost of permits because of the size of the project, the cost for the RFP preparation, or any kind of contingency fee, maybe 15%. Based on the prior reports, the CSD staff had calculated that a pool project cost of about $1,391,000. Note said here you spent another $42,000 with this second go round with Terracon, so let's see what they do. During the presentation last meeting by the Terracon representative, he made a verbal statements that were inconsistent with the written statements that were part of the preliminary opinion of probable construction costs. And I wanted to make sure that you were aware that in that statement, the preliminary opinion of probable construction costs, it was a handout that he gave that had the price. The report stated, inflation and general contractor markups are not included in that aquatic cost estimate of $980,000. So, but he said they were. The written report said they aren't. So there's some inconsistency. Also, on that statement of opinion of probable cost, in very small print, and not even in quite very good English in some cases, there was a cover your butt statement by Terracon. And that said that the consultant has no control over the cost of labor, materials, equipment, or over the contractor's method of determining prices, or over competitive bidding, or market conditions. It went on for quite a bit. Looks like I'm out of time.
How much more do you have?
I'd like just to cut to the end.
That'd be great.
Considering the cost of the wastewater denitrification and plant upgrades, I don't think there would be any money in the wastewater fund to borrow to build the pool. But however, if you borrow money from the wastewater reserves and then have to borrow more money in the bond fund, to me, you are financing the pool through the 30-year bond, and I just find that totally unacceptable. I mean, that the bond is for the wastewater upgrades. It appeared that the River Otters had a fairly successful season without access to the pool. My recommendation is fix the existing pool and use the found Hoffman money for a litany of other zoning improvements that will increase property values.
Thank you, Bill. Any other public comment? Yes, Terry.
Terry Laughlin, 5735 Greenfield Way. For the last several months, we've been employing Terracon to do some sort of what I was under the impression was a fact-finding mission to find out what the pool will cost, that we have absolutely no idea what it would cost. But in the last meeting, when Ron Bravo was giving his speech, he, or whatever you call it, he said that there was a budget that he was adhering to, that was given to him by somebody, the board, staff, or something like that. I've been trying to find out for the last couple of weeks what that budget is, how much it is. I've sent repeated emails and phone calls, and nobody's ever returned my calls or emails. I would like you to do that. I'd like you to respond and tell me how much that budget is. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? See, none. I'll close public comments. Move down to the consent calendar. Is there any item that any board member wishes to pull?
Move approval of consent calendar.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Presentations, we have dropped item one, so Hewitt Engineering.
Good evening, I'm Gregory Harris with Herbert Engineering, and I'm the district engineer for the town of Discovery Bay. Today I'm going to present you some information from Stantec, who is the wastewater consultant firm hired to do the wastewater master plan update for the town of Discovery Bay. As you know, we've talked about this update before. I was back previously to talk about the cost for nitrification and denitrification. Today we're going to talk about the cost for plant one. The importance of Plant 1 for the town is significant. Plant 1 was the original wastewater treatment plant for the town of Discovery Bay. It was originally constructed in the early 70s. It's been modified multiple times, usually by developers along the way, as they expanded Discovery Bay. And at some point, when the community district itself was created, Plant 1 was handed over along with Plant 2 and community services. So the importance of Plant 1 is it was the original wastewater treatment plant. It's also your oldest plant and has the oldest equipment. So we've had several studies along the way. This is a master plan update. Previous master plans talked about Plant 1. And one of the questions that came up previously was there's an operational benefit to not have Plant 1 but have all the resources at one plant on the south side of Highway 4 versus splitting your wastewater between the north side of Highway 4 and the south side of Highway 4. And that operational benefit was identified by Veolia, and we concur with Veolia related to that operational benefit. There is an operational benefit to that. But we're also an engineering firm, and Stantec is looking at this from an engineering perspective. And so the question was previously put to Stantec, and in a previous master plan, it's been put to Stantec again. And that question is, do we make repairs to Plant 1, and what might those repairs cost? Or do we move Plant 1 to Plant 2? And we have it all on site, and what might that cost? So I've handed out chapter 20 of your new plan that's coming up that reiterates sort of previous information. And I'm gonna summarize that chapter for you tonight as part of this presentation, okay? So there you go. So the long and short of it is you can read the text, but in that text, the cost to move Plant 1 to Plant 2 is about $13.8 million. And that's because there's a lot of pieces they got to move with it. They get reconstructed over Plant 2. Okay? And then the other question was, what have we got to do to repair it? It's an older plant. It's had some issues. It hasn't been operated recently because Bernie's been able to run on just plant two for right now. So plant one has not been operated in almost 2 years. 2 years?
Almost 3 years.
Now, Bernie does do maintenance on plant one. They turn the rotors and they do some things, but it hasn't been turned on and run like a treater plant in 3 years. There are some deficiencies at plant one. The first question was, what's the bare minimum? What is the absolute minimum investment we need at plant one? And that's $3.2 million, $3.28 million. That has nothing to do with denitrification. That is not denitrification. That's just to make repairs and fix things in a standard that we feel that that plant can be a backup. So previously, you recall, I came here and told you, you need plant one. It can't go away. You need it for a backup. If you ever do maintenance on it, you need the ditches at plant two, you need a second ditch, and you need that ditch at plant one. Because of the denitrification project, we need both processes to be the same. You're going to invest in denitrification at plant one and plant two, because the plants have to be the same for them to back each other up. Okay? So this $3.28 million is independent of denitrification. That's just to fix clarifiers and the list of things, and we've gone through the others from Bernie and others and Stantec. You know, we're reasonably confident that it's a reasonable place. Now, that's also the bare minimum. It's not a new plant. It's fixing the plant. There's also $571,000 in items that you will eventually have to do down the road, but it isn't burning a fire down you, and you don't have to do it when you do the 2.28. You might choose to do it at that time, but there's some things that could be put off, but eventually are in your future. So, if you add those two together, eventually you're going to spend $3.783 million at plant one to keep it upgraded so that it's a proper redundant plant for plant two. Now, denitrification also has to be built. It has to be built at plant two. It has to be built at plant one. We previously gave you a cost of about $8 million for denitrification. $2.6 million of that will have to be built at plant one. Okay, so separate from repairs, you have to build denitrification basins and upgrades for denitrification to occur at plant one, and that's $2.69 million. Okay? And now, remember, we told you $8 million before. That was for all both plants. So if we pull off 2.69, let's stick it over here, then it's less over here at plant two. So we're not doubling up costs. We're just moving around a little bit easy. Oops. Okay, so the next thing is, the next question was, well, then how much money are we investing in plant one? I mean, we're about to spend some money. How much total are we investing in plant one? Some is new stuff, some rehab. Our investment in plant one is about 5.9 million. So you take the minimum of 3.28, and you take the denitrification portion of 2.619, and you're at, like, the minimum you're going to spend is 5.9 million. Now, if you throw in the extra $570,000 that you have to do someday, eventually, in the next foreseeable future, you're spending at least 3.783 plus the 2.619. You're spending about 6.4 million. Eventually, you're going to right up front spend at least 5.9. And you may choose at the time for construction reasons to fix those other things now, or you may choose to wait. It just matters how you finance it. So again, the 2.619 million is independent of where you build. You got to build it at plant one, you got to build it at plant two. So right now, the cost to move plant one is 13.8 million. The cost to do denitrification, if I move it with it, is 2.619, because that was going to be spent at plant one. It's got to get moved over plant two. So essentially, it's $16.4 million, including denitrification, to construct everything that you had at plant one, over plant two, and an avenue education basis. Okay? Oops, we've got to turn the light off right next to the thing. Okay. So reality is you have a $6 million investment on one hand, build an education at plant one and fix it. Or you have a $16 million investment on the other hand, move all plant one to plant two and build an education at plant two. The plant one portion of the education plant two. So that's $10 million difference. There is an O&M cost savings. There's a real savings. You're not running plant one, you're not running electricity, you're not sending operators over there, you're not doing maintenance, on that equipment at plant one. That's older equipment that requires more maintenance, things like that. So in the master plan developed by Stantec, they had a present work value that maintenance over 20 years, the operation cost of about $163,000. So in theory, if you recouped all that cost, and I'll describe that in a second, but if you recouped all that $163,000, you'd say that there's a $10 million add to move it to plant two. But there's an $863,000 present work savings, but you save it over time. It's not capital cost up front, but you save it over time. And you're about a net cost over 20 years to the district about $9 million. Okay, now what's important about that recuperation of savings at 863 is it's kind of built in two places. There's electricity, chemicals, and things like that. There's also labor. But your labor is under contract with Veolia, not directly to the town. So it's not your staff that maybe can go do something else. It's Veolia staff that maybe can go do something else. So it's not a clear path to me how exactly the whole 163 goes back to your pocket as a district. There was some discussion of, you know, could you get a rebate from Veolia? I don't know, but it's been discussed. You know, it's like, is there you know, a benefit backwards from Veolia for this or not? That must be certain. But at the moment, I'll simply say that the entire 863,000 in my mind, isn't automatically directly in your pocket. It isn't like you paid the electric. You do pay the electric bill, but you don't pay all the ones associated. Okay. So it's about $10 million upfront cost to move it, and you get some money back on the backside. So the key thing to remember here is if you make improvements to plant one, that's a 40-year-old plant. And it isn't just 40 years old. It wasn't built to the same standard that plant two was built. So, like, in that $3.8 million that we're saying is the minimum you're going to do, we're not fixing a few things. We're not fixing concrete in the oxidation ditch that is already cracked. We're just going to patch the cracks. We're just going to cover them up so they don't leak as much. But there's a lot of cracks in that oxidation ditch, right? But 10 years ago in 2002, or actually longer than that, in 2002, we went in and patched cracks in oxidation ditch one. And it got us another 10 years down the road. Right, so we go in and patch those cracks again, you get in 10 years out of it, and then you patch them again, you get 10 years out of it. But one thing is true, it's not truly an apples and orange comparison. When we tell you it's $10 million, I can't say a fixed up 40-year-old plant is the same as a brand new plant. It is not the same. The new one's built to a higher standard, the new one's built stronger, the new one is going to last longer than the old one. But I'm also not going to fantasize about, you know, a 20-year life cycle cost brought back to the future at some magic interest rate and all this stuff going on. I'm not going to sit here and make up numbers to justify what's going on. I'm simply going to say, you have a decision that you're going to be making shortly, and that is, do you keep plant one or do you invest more money in plant one? 20 years from now, if you keep plant one, you're going to make that same decision again. You're going to sit around again, and you're going to make the decision, do we invest money in plant one again, or do we keep plant one? And that's something to think about. Now, can I put a dollar amount on that? No. Okay, but that's a reality that you guys have to think about. There is no perfect answer for you on this because, you know, operational benefits are better at plant two, but it's not impossible to run plant one and plant two. We did it for 10 years, right? You know. It'll be a little harder with the identification process, but, you know, from an engineering perspective, you tell me either way I can make this work. That's the long and short. I can make it work either way. There's a capital cost difference. So the other thing is, you know, plant two, it'll be all brand new. And we would generically say if you maintain it, it'll easily go 40 years. Our concrete structures will go 40 years if you maintain it. The issue of plant one is the concrete structure for the oxidation ditch, A, was not built very well, and B, it went into service when they only had one ditch and it ran for 25 years. Or 30 years, and then we can take it down. So they just ran it for 30 years and never fixed it, just did it. And then suddenly, we had to come in and try and repair what we could. But at that time, you know, there's certain damage that we just can't fix. Okay. So it isn't a holistic, here's a cut and dry, you should do this, you should do that. There are benefits, but I can't put it all out on every benefit. It's not how the math's gonna work, okay? And the decision, and it's the most important, is you're about to spend $6 million in plant one. Once you spend the $6 million, you're not bringing this back up again for 20 years because you need to get your life cycle back out of that money. Okay? Or you're going to spend more money to move to plant two, but those other benefits come with that, and you're going to have to weigh what you want, you know, what you think. And the reality is it's not perfectly apples to apples, and I can't make it apples to apples, because I can't, I, if you said, make plant one like a new plant, it would be a lot more than 220 million bucks. Okay, if you said, make plant one where it is, I would say they were replacing that whole oxidation ditch lining because the concrete's cracked in many places. Okay, I mean, we covered up the cracks so they didn't leak. It doesn't mean the crack's not there. It just means the crack's there. It doesn't leak right now. We think. And so that's what it means. You know, kind of thing. So we're trying to do the minimum. What's the minimum to stay in business? It's a, you know, basically a $4 million investment aside from the Unite and Plant One is your minimum to stay in business. Right? You know, obviously, you can spend more money at Plant One. But if you're going to spend more money than that at Plant One, I would say then you're better off to consider just move. If you're going to, you know, say rebuild Plant One, then you should just move them. I wouldn't go whole hog at Plant One where it is. I would say use it for what it is. It's a backup plant. You're going to need it occasionally. Fix it like that. If you don't want it and you want it to be more robust than that, I would say then move it to Plant Two because the cost will go a lot higher. If you tell me, you know, give me a 40-year plan at Plant One, your cost will be a lot higher. So where we at on where we're at on things is the slide number. So you've seen this before. The real question was, well, what's going to be the impact to the ratepayers if you move plant one, right? So this slide you've seen several times before. Dina presented it last time with the rate study, and this is, you know, essentially, you know, if you have 6,000 customers, what's the impact of $1 million on the rates? And you come down to impacts on rates on a 30-year note is $1 a month, 97 cents. So $10 million would be $10. This is what your effective rates is, right? So you've seen that before. That's basically, that's what your bottom line is. Is a $10 a month rate increase worth moving plant one to plant two? No matter what, you're gonna spend $4 million to fix it up, right? So you have $4 million rate increase, which is $3.50, right?
Four.
Yeah, but your delta to move it is going to be $10 million, so it's going to be $9.70. Okay, so where we're at with the master plan, we previously gave you cost for denitrification, which was $8 million. 2.6 of that is spent at plant one right now. But it was $8 million. This is a $10 million delta. So it's a big impact. So we're rushing to finish the master plan. In 2 weeks, I'm gonna come back with all the costs for the master plan. So the two big projects are denitrification, $8 million, and what's the decision on plant one? They have huge impacts on the plant. There's a couple minor things here and there. We're gonna have those costs for you, and I'm gonna present that in 2 weeks, okay? So for schedule-wise, we're already into September, okay? And we need to get going on design. We've authorized the Geotech to just start doing their work. And so schedule-wise, we're looking for the district to make a decision about Plant 1 at the next board meeting. So in 2 weeks, I'm going to come back, and we're going to need a vote. We're going to need a vote on what are we doing with Plant 1. And I'm going to present the cost with and without Plant 1 in terms of what's your total number here to finish this cycle of denitrification and improvements to plant one, and it's essentially the items that are currently listed in the master plan. Okay. Any questions?
Yes, many questions.
Well, I think there are, but I think what I'd like to do is open up to the public first, and then we can bring it back if it's okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Gregory. And I'll open it up to public comment, and I do have a card, Bill Helfrich. I'll let you go first.
I'll start off with, I'm a little confused. I've heard that we had two projects, one that would cost $14 million and one that would cost $24 million. But here I'm only hearing $6 million, but I think there's more to it.
I can answer that.
Well, I want to tell you, as a ratepayer, I would like to see the least amount of money spent to do the needed upgrades. That would, and based on my prior understanding, that was the $14 million project, not the $24 million project. And that we would pay for that using some of the unrestricted, undesignated wastewater funds. you have a little over $6 million of those funds based on the June 30th, 2018 audited financial statements. So if you were able to use $6 million and you needed to spend $14 million, you'd have to borrow $8 million. Now, based on the calculations that you've just been seeing, that would amount to an annual rate increase of about $93. It would bring our total sewer rate up to about $1,083. And it would be a 9.42% increase in our sewer rates. I'm not in favor of spending $24 million to extend the plant life for another estimated 40 years, which also has a 21.2% rate increase to do that. I would like to see that we would spend the $14 million to get 20 years more life and leave the cost to get another 20 years out for the people who will be here in 20 more years. I won't. I don't want to pay for it. So that's my comments. And again, it seems to be in some conflict with what's being presented, but apparently at other meetings there have been a $14 million project versus a $24 million project. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'll close the public comment, bring it back to the board for discussions and questions.
Okay, I'd like to just clarify the numbers very quickly. So, how do you get to 14 million? Is the question?
Yes.
How do you get to 24 million? Everyone wants to know, right? Okay. So, the unification we previously presented was $8 million. When you do it at plan one and plan two, it doesn't matter where you put it, it's going to be $8 million, right? The improvements, the minimum improvements at plan one are going to be $4 million. Separate from denitrification. Those two together are $12 million. Okay, so 4 and 8, that's 12. Okay, there's a few other little chunk change things running around. We gotta fix a little this, fix a little that. We're gonna bring those last couple million in for 2 weeks. Your base project is gonna be in that range of 12 to 14 million for your base minimum project. Denitrification and do the bare minimum plan. That's gonna be your minimum. So it'll be in the range of 12 to 14. $8 million for deactivation, $4 million for improvements to plan one, and a couple of little chunk change things running around the middle. Okay? 12 to 14 million is going to be in that range. Okay? If you move it to plan two, is a delta of 10. So you're going to add 10. So instead of 14, it's going to be 24. So that's how the math works. Not real magic. It's very straightforward. There's really not a lot going on. It's G9, fix plant one, and a couple of things coming here I'll talk about in 2 weeks.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, for the question for you?
It does. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Okay. Now, question for you.
So I have a couple of questions, Greg. First of all, do the improvements to plant one include? Okay. No. Let me step back. So we have two aux ditches to plant two and three clip fires. Correct.
Yes.
We did that a while back, so we have a redundant system.
Right. Yeah.
Based on the amount that we process currently. And take into consideration our permit, that will not handle our flow if we shut one of those aux ditches down.
Right. So.
So that's why we need the third aux ditch.
Right. So
okay.
There's two elements to that. So let me answer both elements.
Okay.
Okay. So the first element is you aren't completely built out as a district yet. There's a little bit left to build. Okay, so you're treating a certain capacity. Like right now, Bernie is able to operate two ditches at plant one and have a third redundant not operating at plant one. Sorry, two ditches at plant two not operating at this plant. Two things. When we add denitrification, you're going to lose some capacity in those ditches. And under Stantec has calculated that under peak loading conditions, when you build out your community, you may need to turn on three ditches at certain times in the winter. In the wintertime, you may need to turn on three ditches just to get you to where you might need for you to operate. But no matter what, you can't do maintenance on a ditch.
That's the key.
At all.
Right.
You always need a minimum of two. So if you're going to do maintenance and keep your structures from deteriorating, like what happened in plant one, you need to be able to take them out. So when we did the third ditch, we built the third ditch, we took two out of service. And we went and did maintenance on it. And we said, okay, we checked for crack, looked at everything, we spliffed it all up, we treated steel, we said, good, we'll get 10 more years out of it.
All that stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So there's intermittent needs, so you can do maintenance. And it is a process need occasionally under really cold conditions when the city's built out and that stuff. Now, theoretically, can Bernie pull it off and maybe never need to turn on that third ditch? Maybe. Don't know. But you're asking us to guarantee the plan work. I'm telling you, we're not going to guarantee it if we don't have a third ditch in case we just need it for that cold weather when you build it out. Okay? Now, in reality, it may for a long time not operate, but you're going to need it for a backup. Now, if you had a major failure at plant one, like a major failure, remember initially when the filters were giving us issues, we started running flow over plant one. Okay. So if you had a major failure at plant two, this would immediately have to be able to come online. If we come on, we'll immediately run 24 hours a day. So when we consider the minimum improvements to plant one, it is the improvements that we feel reasonably confident that as long as the equipment's maintained, on a moment's notice, you can flip the plant on, direct the flow over there, and turn it on and start running the process. Okay? It wouldn't be easy, and Bernie wouldn't want to have to do it, but if he had to do it, he could. Okay?
Okay, so part of what we've talked about is bringing, we know that aux ditch has just been sitting there empty for a while, and concrete degrades when it's out there, and it's going to have to take something, some sort of maintenance to not only fill the cracks, but to make sure that it's sound.
Right.
We also have an issue, this is going back about 10 years, so without going into too much detail, we also have an issue with those two clarifiers over there. They're either not deep enough, or they're not designed properly, or there's some issue with those two clarifiers.
Right, so...
Does this include addressing that problem?
Partially. Okay, so the plant was not designed to the same standard as plant two.
Understood.
The clarifiers are shallower. They work, they don't work as well as plant two's clarifiers. Okay? The mechanisms are 40 years old. This cost includes replacing the mechanisms.
Okay.
So we're going to replace the mechanisms, but I can't fix too shallow versus not deep enough. I can't fix that. But we're not making an equivalent plant to what we remove. That's what's important here. We're going to live with a short clarifier.
Okay.
We're going to live with a few cracks over there. We're doing the minimum we have to get it to turn on and run and have it at least what we believe functionally operate. Okay.
So when you talked about in one of your slides earlier, the lifespan.
Yes.
We're not going to get that 40 year. But if it's only being used, if it's being exercised on a regular basis to make sure it's functional,
right,
which it hasn't been,
yeah,
and then only used when necessary, i.e. maintenance on one of the other aux ditches, it functions well in that capacity.
We believe that if you make the minimum investment, it would function in that capacity.
Because we're not looking at it to process everything.
Right. If you told me I want to run it
yep,
for 20 years,
right,
I would say you need to put more into it.
Right.
If you're telling me I want to run it once in a while for 20 years, you need to put 4 million into it. That's basically what
And if we were to abandon plant one, we can't abandon plant one completely because there's a lift station W over there, right?
Yeah. So
and isn't there, is it head work? What else is over there?
So there's two pump stations, the inflow pump station and pump station W.
Right.
They would have to stay.
It's the influent pump station that we were trying to talk about earlier today. Okay, that's what I
So those two things would always remain there. We can't fix them.
So that land would never be available, all of it would never be available for any other purpose, to be repurposed for anything.
Well, there's two things. Some of it, maybe, if you want to think about it, but a portion of the land, there's also those two pump stations, and there's an emergency storage basin. So if we had an emergency, we could just dump raw sewage in that basin.
And that's what you go past on the left if you come into the gate.
That's right. If you said, what would we keep? Everything left of the gate. If you come through the main entrance, it's everything on the left-hand side. You keep everything to the right.
You could level and fill that in or whatever if we decided to move everything.
That's right. Now, but if you ask for, is there a commercial purpose over there? Maybe an industrial purpose, but I don't know if you're putting homes in there or something like that.
That's all I have right now. Thank you.
Well, if we're looking forward, I know we're just talking about the delta moving to plant one over to two, do it or not. And with the other things that need to be done, that have to be included in the race study, do you feel confident that we're at the 14 as the minimum? And if we move the plant, there's a 10 million dollar difference, so it'd be a 24. Is that the numbers I need to be thinking about for the next 2 weeks?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
So I did a quick math, so at one of them, at 14 minutes, it'd be 46 cents per day per resident, or 80 cents per day if we moved it. That's what I did.
Okay.
But anyway, we'll talk about that next week.
Right.
Okay, so we've been 3 years not using Plant One, right?
In January.
Roughly, yeah, okay. What's the date that the D-Night has to be up and running? Year.
All right, so 2021?
December 31st, yeah. 2023.
So December 31st, 2021, our permit changes.
Okay.
And that means at that point, we get fined for non-compliance. The daily fine will probably run $9,000 a day because we'd be out on three facilities. Okay. So working backwards from there, it takes us a year to design the plant. It takes us 18 months to build the plant. And Bernie needs time to operate it before we turn it off.
I got it. I'm leaning towards a question.
Okay.
So 2021, December 31st.
23.
2023.
2023.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I hear Andrew. What happens to Plant One after 2023?
So, assuming you did the minimum, what would happen is
$6 million.
Yeah. So you did the $6 million. Assuming that happens, we would test it out, make sure it all works. We'd run it enough to know that it all worked. So we have a warranty from the contractor, right? So we'd have to run it to know that it all worked and it was built properly. And then it would likely not be used for a while, and Bernie would do what he does now, which is periodically exercise the plant so that it was in a backup position and it would work and run.
That's what I figured. So it really goes into standby and may never be used, but it will be exercised, labor applied, cost applied.
Like it is now.
And in 20 years, during that period, maintenance and parts and materials to keep it running as a standby.
Right.
Just wanted to get that clear.
Yes.
We have discussed the possibility of land. I think it was a great question, Director Graves. Can we use that land? Can we use it for recovery of costs in some commercial fashion? And our belief was we could possibly use it. So there could be some recovery off of that.
Right.
Okay. If we were to move it to Plant Two, there's a whole different story in the way that it's operated. It is now not, at 2023, it will not be a backup. It will be considered in rotation with all the other equipment, which would extend the life of Plant Two, correct?
Yeah, so what the difference being is, it's extremely different to start up the process of Plant One. You gotta send all this biology over there in large volumes. You gotta work really hard, so it's a very difficult process to start up. So every time you start it up, it's not a lot of labor, there's a risk that you violate it because you got to do everything perfect or it doesn't start up right. Once it's all started up in that Plant Two, the ditches would just be in rotation and you can just pump it over to here and then suddenly it's going to work just fine.
You just use the same sledge ponds that
right.
We have in the back,
so,
just glue everything around.
And so instead of it just sitting as a backup, it would just be a rotation like you said, and that would then reduce the life because you're not going to run two, like you move it all over to the new ditch four, we'll say. You wouldn't run two for a while you run a four, and you mix and match your equipment, and you would get an extended life out of it.
I'm sorry. If you had both at Plant Two, all we'd have to do at the head works when flow comes in, you'd open a gate and close one gate, and that's all you do. If you take it back to Plant One, you got to turn on the transfer pump, you got to pump it back over to Plant One, you got to turn on the head works over there, and then you got to run the clarifier, which has pumps, so you got five pumps to do the work, we just open one gate.
So I knew the answer to that. Thanks for you, Bernie, you helped me educate me, but I wanted anybody else.
You're turning on a whole plant versus just turning on an oxidation dish.
That's right. That's right. 20 years ago, and I may be off by a few years, but 20 years ago, this decision was put on the table, right? Was on the table.
So when Hoffman ran the show and working with Corolla, I worked at Corolla at that time. Kurt Gardner, my business partner, also worked at Corolla at that time. And Kurt was in charge of building Plant Two. At that time, Corolla put forth a recommendation. This is a pretty old plant. Why don't we put them both over here? Just building a new plant on the south side. The delta at that time was like $5 million. So the delta at that time was like $5 million because you hadn't built the inflow pump station yet. You hadn't built some of this other stuff. It hadn't been built yet. developers being developers. That was a dollar more than they needed to spend. It wasn't a board at that time because it was...
It was San 19.
It was San 19. Hoffman ran the show until the board was put in place, and that's the decisions that were made. But the engineering, the right engineering choice 20 years ago was to move them all over, and we suggested it, and we pushed for it, but Hoffman was in charge of Hoffman.
Okay, thank you for that. If we, you've given us an estimate of about 4 million, 6 million tops with D-Nite Plant 1. Once you start tearing that apart to renovate, tearing certain pieces apart to renovate, is there a possibility to find additional costs?
Yes.
As I would have figured.
It's like a remodel, perhaps.
So you don't know what's deep inside. Once you start tearing up, there could be more exposure.
We're not completely blind, but you know, you think a pipe is going to be in good shape, and then you dig it up, and you go to tie onto it, and it's not in good shape. I mean, we don't have pipes in the back. You can't see underground.
And the estimate in planning to move it over to Plant 2, we don't have an exposure like that because we are taking virgin ground.
Yeah, it's virgin ground over there, and it's a little more straightforward.
Okay. The long-term savings, obviously, Bernie, has to be terrific, and I'm not saying millions of dollars, but it's terrific in labor, and not having to cross over Highway 4 on a continuing basis day over day, and not having to get security as we look at beefing up Plant 2. We would have to do that to Plant 1, so there's additional cost in that as well. So I ask all these questions because there's two sides to this.
Yeah.
It's not cut and dry. It's a tough decision.
I agree. It is not cut and dry because you can't quite get it apples to apples. You can't quite be the same. And I'm an engineer, so I'm not going to worry about camp roads. I'm not going to worry about land value. I'm not going to worry about 20 years from now what's the cost of money and what if you have to do more work then. And I'm not going to drag all that back and try and create a story. You know, I'm just going to tell you how it is. This is the capital you're going to spend to do A or B.
And we greatly appreciate that fact.
I have one other.
Please.
I knew it 2 minutes ago.
While you're thinking about that.
Thank you. Save me.
This is a financial question. What is our current water wastewater reserve fund? If you know that. If you don't, then get back to it.
No, I will have to get back to you. I don't know the time I have.
Can you give me an approximate?
I have
the
financials here.
This is the first. Dina has not been well over the last few days. She usually has all of those right off the top of her head.
So capital improvement funds, we have about $5.26 million. Then we have the revolving funds and we have reserve funds. So we have about $5.26 million that we can use.
Well, that's a capital improvement. What's in reserves over there?
So reserves we usually keep for emergency funds, and so that's $1.8 million, and that's for emergency.
Right. Mm-hmm. But if the current capital improvement funds are designated for various other projects coming up down the road,
replacement pipe or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not just.
Greg, just so I can get a visual of what you're talking about, that's what I wanted to do. So when you talk about moving Plant 1, that's going to consist of a third aux ditch and how many more clarifiers in Plant 2?
A third aux ditch, two more clarifiers, new grass pump station, some improvements to the headworks.
For the capacity?
Yeah. And then
and be able to divide.
And then that the dividing is already set up. We set up when we did Plant 2.
The second ditch.
We set it up so we could have the third ditch. So okay. It's all ready to go, but we would add the oxidation ditch. So basically it's the oxidation ditch, the two clarifiers, and some improvements to the headworks.
So we didn't have
plus the D-Nite, we have to add any.
So and what does that look like?
What about
D-Nite?
D-Nite's gonna be some large concrete basins in front in the ground in front of the oxidation ditch with some pumps that pump flow in and out.
What constitutes denitrification?
It's actually amazingly simple. We build a concrete box that's about 30% of the volume of the oxidation ditch in the ground, and then we don't give it any air, we don't do anything to it. We just take the wastewater out of the oxidation ditch, we just pump it in there, and we just let it, the bugs just go after the nitrogen, and then we just take it back into the area.
For how long does it have to be in that box?
So we pick 30% of the volume, so we have 24-hour retention time in the oxidation ditch, so like 30% of 8 hours. So we put it in there for 8 hours,
And then you put it back in the oxygen?
And then you get right back in the oxygen. That's what we do.
And by doing that on a constant basis, it...
It goes into your bacteria.
It gets enough of it, the process works enough to be effective.
So what happens is it grows a slightly different bacteria than in the oxidation ditch. It's a different bacteria that doesn't like oxygen. And what we're trying to remove is nitrate and O3.
Okay.
And that oxygen, those bacteria that's in that ditch, we don't give it any oxygen. So they turn around and look for it, and the only place it is on nitrate and O3, so they go steal that oxygen off the nitrate. Okay. They do it for free. They don't want to die. So
and how big is that box?
Slave labor. Yeah.
How big is that concrete box?
It's going to be like 30 by 30 by 15 feet deep or something like that, or 7 feet deep.
There'll be two mixers in there.
Okay, just...
Bigger than the swimming pool.
Tony, Bill, you have to go there, don't you? You gotta go there.
Double duty. Any other questions? Greg, you're doing a great job.
Just a reminder, schedule 2 weeks for voting on this, we gotta move on.
Yep.
I'm gonna have the final cost for you, but I'm telling you a number somewhere between 12 and 14. I'll have that for you in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay, and then 2 weeks after that, October's second board meeting, we're going to be looking to you to approve the final improvements in the budget so that we can start working on the financing plan and different things on there.
Great.
So next 2 meetings, you'll see me.
And we're going to think beyond 20 years, I plan on being there. And if not my grandkids, I want them to be able to flush it.
Yeah, they work.
Okay. Thank you.
Since you started talking about financing,
please. Next on is Veolia.
Yeah.
E1.
16. All right. I'll leave DCL 16.
All right. Let's get into more simple stuff. Up in August, the staff continues to report safely, safe practices. We did Gini lift training with the landscaping staff last month, which is that blue Gini thing that goes in here. And we reviewed the draft of the NPDF permit with Gregory and Stantec and made a list of questions sent out. So we haven't heard nothing back. All state reports were submitted on time. All wells are active. We did about 125 million. We kind of equaled what we did in July, so water kind of stabilized for the month of August. We flushed 6 hydrants. You can see there where we're still way below our 2013 baseline that we try to meet for conservation. We were around about 17%, but over the year we're around 33% reduction, so we're still doing good on water reduction. Wastewater still, plants running very well. We're still well below our permits. You can see there that inflow flow is only about 1.2, and we're discharging about 1. So lower conservation, less water we have to treat. No permit issues, all lift stations are running. We treat a little bit over 37 million gallons. Staff is still doing flushing and sewer assessments on an ongoing basis. Work order staff continues to EPMs and work orders and keep them to a very minimum. I can say right now that everything we have is running, contingency is running. So. Minimum call outs, things are going well on the water and wastewater side.
To go back to that Gini thing, is this the one where you have to go set it up without rigor? It's not really that mobile, is it?
No, you have to pull it with a truck.
Right, and then you have to take it down, set it down, set it out. Then, yeah.
Correct.
So how often is that key?
Not very often.
That's what I thought. Okay, just curious.
Thank you, Marty. Okay, moving on to F1. Staff on the tennis football court improvements.
Yes, we'll bring Mac up, talk about it.
All right, good evening. All right, so, sorry, I'll flip these down. All right, through the East Bay Regional Park District's Measure WW, an opportunity currently exists to apply for $66,804.31 in grant funding for park and recreation purposes. Staff received notification from East Bay Regional Park District in July of 2018 that the five-year grant program deadline of December 2018 was extended for three additional years. The town has a master grant with East Bay Park District, and the original amount was $580,453. So after funds were spent in the original master plan or the master grant, $68,804.31 currently is existing on our account. Utilizing the current master agreement between the town and East Bay Regional Park District for the community center grounds would make the most sense, greatly streamlining an on-site project by utilizing any and all documentation that was already submitted for the current master agreement. Staff has reviewed the list of improvements and or renovation work that has occurred here at the community center over the past few years. And those projects included such things as replacement of the community center roof, replacement of older and hazardous concrete walkways, renovation and refurbishment to the barbecue area, purchase of new park benches and umbrellas, and renovation to the patio structure outside. Renovation of the dog park is currently underway and nearly complete. And of course, renovation of the swimming pool is currently in progress. Therefore, in assessing remaining community center needs based on WW grant guidelines and remaining project funding, staff has met to consider the best use of the grant funding should it be awarded. Staff has determined that currently 6 of the 8 tennis courts are in acceptable condition for play at the community center. Tennis courts 3 and 4 were never renovated and not currently usable in an eyesore of the community center. According to the USA Pickleball Association, pickleball is among the fastest growing sports in the United States and has had a 650% increase in players over the last 6 years. Currently, one of 2 tennis courts at Cornell Park has been converted to pickleball, and the number of players is growing. The board has agreed to allow the pickleball players to renovate the remaining Cornell Park tennis court to pickleball, provided the cost is borne by the players. The pickleball players have formed a local nonprofit group, and to date have raised over $30,000 through a variety of fundraising activities, including tournaments. In meeting with the pickleball players, there is a general agreement that converting community center tennis courts 3 and 4 to 6 pickleball courts makes sense. This will allow for more players to engage in the sport, move most of the play out of the Cornell Park residential neighborhood, and bring more foot traffic here to the community center. To make this happen, a Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports Incorporated, which is their nonprofit group, would be willing to donate to the town $30,000 to add to the WW grant funding, providing $99,000 to make the conversion. Should USTA league play become organized, the typical match would use no more than 5 courts. Staff has not observed any tennis court wait times, including weekends, due to an unavailable court. Restoring courts 3 and 4 to tennis play will not serve a current tennis need. Renovating the courts to pickleball, however, will serve a recreational need, and the grant money coupled with donated money should be enough funds to make it work. Staff's position is that converting courts 3 and 4 to 6 pickleball courts would be the best use of the property. I'm available for questions.
Again, I'd like, if it's okay, I'll go with public comments when we get that, if there are any. So open for public comment.
Who's back left? That's directly adjacent to the dog park that's being renovated, is that correct?
Correct.
Have any of the people that regularly use the dog park been asked about how they think this will impact their ability to use the dog park?
That we haven't, but we can always ask them.
I can see, I think a little bit of where you're coming from. Noise level, the decibel level for dogs, I have no idea. I'm not a vet, don't know a thing about it, but I did notice that a while back, the tennis players, they were bothered by that, by the noise of the pickleball, and they couldn't concentrate or something, so it bothered them a little bit. So I'm concerned about the current tennis players, but I think Director Graves brings up a good point about the decibel levels for the dog. I don't know if it would or wouldn't, I have no idea.
I think the impact would be more with the people that are there with the dogs than it would be for most of us. Well, I take Sam shooting, so I mean, if he can deal with a shotgun, he can deal with a pickleball court. But not all dogs can do that, though. Yeah. Some of them are very skittish. But I have not, although I did go, Director Buteau and I did take a tour of the town, and there was pickleball going on out at Cornell, but there really wasn't a game that was going on at the time. I understand initially it seems to be something you have to get used to, but it doesn't take much getting used to. But I just wanted to bring that up as a concern because it is directly adjacent to the new dog park that we're upgrading.
Just a comment. I'm not sure if that's a question.
No, it's just a comment. Okay. Just a comment to consider.
I guess my only question is, as we look at the opportunity cost of the $63,000, are there any other projects or needs that the community center could take advantage of that serve the community, a greater portion of the community that we haven't considered, that's all?
To answer that question, the master grant that we have, there are stipulations in there. You can either use it to purchase property or renovate property. Originally, when the town looked at the tennis courts, courts 1 and 2 were so bad, they would fall under what's considered renovation. Regular maintenance is not open to the WW grant. So we have to either purchase something or we have to renovate something. And they were also up against a time constraint as well, in terms of we've only got a short window to get in there and do the project. So again, looking at all the things we've accomplished here so far, we want to use the whole $68,831 or whatever that happens to be. We want to use all of that money up. So yeah, we could maybe find another project, but if it doesn't use all of that money or if it doesn't fit with the criteria, this one staff is pretty sure is going to fit. WW funds have been used to renovate the courts in City of Concord. They took tennis courts and converted it over, and it's been very popular and very successful there. So that's what we kind of looked at. What do we have? What's the amount of money? What's going to be the best use?
And I know you talked about it at the last Park and Rec meeting, but just to refresh. So would then the Cornell Park football courts be converted back to a tennis court? And then?
Well, at this point, we would just leave the facility as it currently is, which is one pickleball court and one tennis court. Two pickleball courts and one tennis court. Sorry.
Are there any pickleballers in here tonight?
I think there are.
Yeah. No, because I would have thought this would be a good time for them to be here. I got to say congratulations, and you guys are wonderful. 2.5-3 years ago, I sat in court and listened to the pickleballers come in, and you really came in force every single meeting and took it upon yourself to go out and become a 501c3 and raise $30,000. So you're not just telling the town, you give me, give me, give me, you went out and got. So it's greatly appreciated. I like the idea. Thank you.
Can I comment?
Okay. We're not in public right now.
Sorry.
I'll come back to you before we get off this. Any other questions?
So I guess my question would be similar to Director Buteau. Going to add 6 more courts. You know, they're making do with 2 courts now. It would appear that a majority of people would probably want to play together instead of having a split area, that Cornell may not be utilized that much. I don't know. I don't play that long.
My assumption would be that it would just be one of those neighborhood facilities. People could go over and play tennis if they want. They could play pickleball if they want. Of course, they're welcome to come here as well. There'll be probably a much more organized program going on than would be at Cornell Park if they made a move.
Can you play tennis on those converted pickleball courts at Cornell? Or you?
So
there's a tennis court.
Yeah, there's a tennis court and a pickleball court.
Oh, I understand.
So, yeah.
I don't know how much you need for both projects. That's what I'm asking.
I don't know.
I'm good. Bob, does anybody ever play tennis on that court at Cornell anymore? Do you ever have to run anybody off, or do you ever have to share with them? Or?
Well, we point out that they come over here, but if there's conflict issue, but there's occasional people come in.
So that court would probably continue to be used as a tennis court once you make, if you were to make the move.
Oh yeah, and it is occasionally, you know, because I don't live.
That's fine. No, I'm just curious. Yeah. Just curious.
It occasionally gets used.
I don't know, you know. Growing up, I was a tennis player, so I have a heart for it. But I don't know where it is today, because if I try to serve the ball, I'm at the chiropractor for 2 weeks, so I don't play tennis
anymore. We need to try tennis pickleball.
So if I could, I got enough going on in my life.
Before we go any further deep, I would like to, I'll open it up to the public. You can come up and speak.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I was just going to go ahead and comment about the dog sound. I'm actually a dog owner. On occasion, I bring my dog to the pickleball courts, and there are multiple dogs around, and they're never yelping, they're never barking. It doesn't hurt their ears.
Thanks for sharing that. And I'll close public
comment. I'm good. Is there an action item here or what?
Yes.
Action or a motion?
Direction or motion? Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item F2, discussion of possible action on the well 4A.
Okay, we're going to bring our water engineer, Justin Shoba.
Good evening, board. Just get this paper here. So we have this item for discussion and recommended action for replacement of the motor in well 4A. This, as you know, there's 6 wells that serve water to the town. One of them standby, well 4A, and well 7 are the 2 wells that serve the Newport plant. Well 4A is currently operating, but the motor is on its way out. We just did a rehab on well 4A last year, and when we were making the upgrades to the pump, we noted that there were some issues with the motor. We could tell at the time that the motor was reaching its useful service life, and even more recent indications are showing that there is wear on the motor. There's an electrical short. It's still running, but it's running at a higher amperage, and it's not going to be long before that motor just burns out and fails and needs to be replaced. The point that there's 2 wells feeding Newport, the reason I mention that is because it's a critical supply well, and the motors take a long time to replace. So our objective right now is to get approval to have authorization for expenditures to replace the motor in well 4A. And we brought this to the committee 2 weeks ago on September 4th. We presented options for the motor replacement. It was the direction of the committee to look into different options. And so we looked into, there's 2 specific types of motors that we could replace it with. One is a, we'll just call it high quality, which is the type that's currently in there. And then the other is a low quality, we'll just call it, because it really is. There's really only 2 types of motors that can be used in that well for the submersible application. And the high quality one is an oil-filled motor, and the low quality one is a water-filled motor. And it's an important distinction because we truly do see that useful life in the higher quality motor, which is the motors that we've used in all of the submersible motors in Discovery Bay, is a 20-year life. And that's what we've gotten out of the motor that's currently in there that's on its way out. And that's pretty long for a motor considering it's submerged in water 100 plus feet below water in the environment that we have with the water, having manganese and hardness and other things that would be aggressive on it. It's a pretty good lifespan for a motor considering the amount of work that it's doing. So in terms of what we looked at the cost and then, you know, life cycle cost analysis of these 2 options. And it was the recommendation of the committee based on that to proceed with getting cost from contractors for the higher quality motor as a replacement. So we obtained two quotes from different contractors. There's only 2 contractors that are qualified from the vendor that sells these motors. And so those are the contractors that we sought for the costs. I guess backing up a step, there's a drinking water regulation that all components in contact with drinking water have to comply with. And there's only one of these oil-filled motors on the market that meet that drinking water regulation. And there's only one other alternate to that oil-filled motor. So for those purposes of meeting regulations, we can only go through one vendor to obtain that motor. So in terms of what you're going to get out of that motor another 20 years, we're sure of that. We feel pretty sure of that. I mean, it's hard for anybody to ever say they're sure what your service life is going to be. But just empirically, we just got 20 years out of the same type of motor. So we're essentially trying to do an in-kind replacement. We looked into rebuilding the motor that's in there, but that added some complications, and essentially the cost of rebuilding the motor that's currently in there would cost about the same as a brand new motor. Pretty much exactly the same fee, because the motor that's currently in there has a mercury seal, and they don't make them with mercury seals anymore, they make them with double mechanical seals, and they still perform just as well. But historically, they used to use mercury, and that's not allowed. It's by law not allowed anymore. So to rebuild this motor, they have to pay a fee of changing the seal type also, which increases cost. So that option was ruled out for that reason. What we're looking at in terms of budget is presented on the sheet that's with the staff report. And the two contractors that are qualified by the vendor to install these motors, their costs are lined out on that comparison table. Kirby's Pump and Mechanical provided better pricing, as they typically do, as compared to this other company. We weren't surprised by that. And Kirby's Pump and Mechanical also worked on the upgrades during the rehabilitation, so they're already fully aware of what's in there, and there's really no uncertainties with using them for this. And we have three items that we know we're going to have to do, which is removing the pump to make the first. We would buy a motor, and that'll take us 5 months to get that motor. They're a long lead time, which is why we want to take action sooner than later, get this work done before the high demands of next year. And hopefully, in that time frame, while we're waiting for the motor, nothing fails. Right now, it's still operating. But if it does fail, then we would talk to Bernie about whether we could take 12-4A offline while we're waiting for this replacement motor to arrive. But because of the long lead time, that's why we really want you to jump on placing this order. So that's a given cost. Once they do get the motor, they would come remove the pump that's in there, replace the motor, and reinstall it. There's also a cost line item on there for the disposal of the mercury seal motor, and that has to go to an authorized facility for disposal. Back to the manufacturer. The optional items are if there's a couple of ifs in this plan, and so we have optional items to account for those ifs. And one of those ifs is if the submersible cable isn't suitable for reinstallation, which we won't know until we pull it out. It's the same submersible cable that's been in there for 20 years as well. And like I said, we've been observing a short, a minor short, meaning there is some connection. There is now a connection between the leads, but it's not major enough to cause the amps to jump up too high. But whatever that issue is, we're hoping it's the motor itself and not the cables. But we won't know that until we pull it out and disconnect the two. And Meg, both of them, check the insulation, both of them independently. So that alone should tell us if we can reuse the cable. We would be still, if we say, well, hey, the cable insulation checks out, we can reinstall it because the insulation is intact. We still run some risk of putting a 20-year-old cable back in, and there's no really telling how long that particular cable will last. But I think if the insulation is intact and it mends out, we would propose putting it back in to save the $15,000 for a cable replacement. But if that at that time when we pull it out, it's not intact, then we need to hold off on the reinstallation, have them place an order for cable, which would take a few weeks to arrive. So we would be if we get approval to do this work, then we would be placing the order for the motor as soon as possible. It'd probably be arriving around February or March of next year, and that's when the work would be taking place. So we'd be getting kind of close to that time frame when the demand starts to pick up. It's going to take us a few weeks to get the cable if the cable doesn't check out. And then if we get too close and the demands do start to pick up, we have another optional item here for a pump rental. And this Kirby's Pump and Mechanical, we've been in close communication with them on a lot of these projects. They know the town system really well. They told me they have a motor and a pump set aside. That would be a temporary one that they would rent to us for a few months if we needed it. So if we were in a pinch, that would be another optional item. We also include just engineering fees for the oversight, the management, the review of the submittals, review the information, inspection, and then the testing after it's all installed. And a 10% contingency just for other unknowns that we may not be counting. So with those budgets, those costs in mind, we're looking at a requested budget of $155,000. But like I said, hopefully not all of that would be required. If we reuse the cable, we don't need a pump rental, if everything works out, that we hope it would.
Good. Thank you, Justin. Yeah. Let me open it to any public comment. And seeing no public comment, bring it back to the board for discussion.
I move that we accept Kirby's proposal before as soon as possible so we don't get too far into the high demand season.
Good. Hey, can I just ask if can the cable be ordered and returned if we don't need it?
I'll ask. I don't have an answer for that. I'll ask the contractor. I suspect that there would be at minimum a restocking fee. So,
but it's a great question. If it's going to cost 6 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
said it only takes 2 weeks.
It should be. I said a few weeks because I didn't get a direct answer on that. But it depends on where the cable suppliers are at that time.
Okay.
So we're thinking
there's multiple suppliers on that panel.
There's actually only one cable we could go through.
Oh.
Again, because of the drinking water regulation, there's only one cable per supplier.
Good.
Yeah.
Board Chair. Oh. Excuse me. To move to staff approval, the motion to move the staff approval, if the director would amend the motion to include the budget of $155,000.
I would do that. It is included.
We had a budget of $155,000.
Thank you.
I'll second that with the comment that it's another one of these items where we've got the gun to our head. We have to use it. We can only use certain guys. I would think somebody in that business would open up another plant that makes motors that needs these specs.
I can let you know from our perspective, we're monitoring that closely too. The other manufacturer that sells oil-filled motors, we talk to them all the time about it, and they say, hey, we make enough money in the mining industry. We don't need to deal with that regulation. It's an expensive regulation. So, I mean, they said, we'll rebuild your motor and we'll sell you a motor if you want to talk to the health department about this regulation, but
we need a third supplier.
Yeah, exactly. But there's other options for motors on new wells. We can consider other line shaft options. The line shafts have the motor up on top, and there's many suppliers for those types of systems.
And for clarification, 4A is at the Newport plant, correct? That's been there for 20 years already?
Yep.
Holy.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Carrie, it's illegal. I apologize for asking the question in the middle of the motion.
Oh, no problem at all.
Thanks for the clarification. Item F3.
F3, I'll bring Dina up.
Good evening. Before you is resolution number 2019-10, allowing preliminary wastewater enterprise project expenditures to be reimbursed from financing proceeds. The attached resolution meets IRS regulations and will allow for maximum reimbursement of qualified expenditures. There is no fiscal impact to the adoption of the resolution. This resolution does qualify the town of Discovery Bay to issue tax-exempt debt for purposes of reimbursing project expenditures prior to the issuance of bonds. Otherwise, if not adopted, the town of Discovery Bay would not be entitled to be reimbursed for any proceeds spent. Staff requests consideration and adoption of this resolution. Are there any questions?
Hold off questions and open it for public comment. Seeing none, I'll close public comments. Back to the board.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried.
And it is very prudent to us to do that.
Yes. Okay, on to director reports. I know of none. I see none on the report. Are there any? Okay, moving on to manager's report. I see none, so can I assume we go through that?
Yeah, no okay. Managers, general manager.
And general manager's report.
Okay, I have a general manager's report. As promised by Leah last meeting, code enforcement was out here, and I understand they've got at least 100 tags out. On
270.
Is that what the final count is? 270?
They found one on Sunset Point on the way out. I don't know if it's people.
So that should make some people happy. 270 tags is a pretty good, they work for that.
Well, I probably know of 270 people that aren't happy.
The phone calls have already started coming in.
The next update that I wanted to give you is that the brackets have been put up for the LED lighting at the front entrance. The vendor is getting the lights in, and that project should be completed by the end of this month, we're hopeful.
While we're on that, again, it flashed on me. Because there's the ability to have multiple things going on or different lights, etc., I know it's not as complicated or as extensive as our new sign, but staff's got to work through that and learn that process also. So
we should be ready by Christmas.
We're going to miss Halloween.
2019? Okay, yes. Good.
Thank you.
We're going to look at some YouTube videos and get up to speed on things pretty quick. The next item I wanted to bring you up to speed on is that we had our finance manager applicant interviews. We've narrowed it down to two candidates, and they are in the reference checking process. I haven't made a final decision yet, but we hope to have that in place fairly soon, probably 3-4 weeks, hopefully. And then lastly, as you know, our Parks and Landscape Manager, Brian, has moved on as of last Friday. We had an original candidate to take his spot. That person backed out of the process. So we're reinstituting the process, and we should be conducting another set of interviews on October 4th. In the meantime, Monica is the interim Parks and Landscape Manager. She's been at it for 3 days now, and I have to tell you, she's doing one heck of a job. So we appreciate it.
Thanks for that instant evaluation.
I tried to make a comment. In the last couple of days, I don't know if there's been a change of priorities or a change of protocol, but Newport looks fantastic. I drive down there every single day, and it's completely cleaned up. And so thank you very much for driving your team out there. I think you did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay. And thank you.
That concludes my report.
J1 and 2, correspondence only. You can see it was ECC FPD. Future agenda items. Okay. And I neglected one thing, so if I can just back up to the director's reports, I asked everybody else. But I did attend the ECC FPD, the fire department meeting, a very critical meeting. It was a full crowd, and that's a very large area. Worthwhile for people from Discovery Bay to go to these meetings. They talked about Measure L, that's that urban limit line that you've been reading about in the paper. They did an MOU, a measurement of understanding. Chief Helmut can put it together. In the event that Measure L passes, he's safeguarded to make sure they've got a plan. There was a lot of both sides. A lot of talk that says no on L, a lot of talk yes on L, but that wasn't the intent of the meeting, it was the MOU. Great meeting, and I suggest to everybody attend some of the ECC FPD meetings, and I think it's the second Wednesday of the month, but we'll get clarification in the calling. Okay, with that,
I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to legal.
Town of Discovery Bay will now adjourn to closed session to discuss the item identified on the agenda as M1.